Well, good evening, Harvest family. Trust everyone has had a good week thus far. Looking forward to our time together in prayer and God's word tonight. Let's go ahead and stand together for a word of prayer. And then Brother Mike will come and we'll sing hymn number 195, Glory to His Name. Father, we love you. Thank you for your goodness, the blessings and joy of service and fellowship. Ask that you meet with us tonight. Encourage us, Lord, as we share our heart with our prayer requests and pray for one another. And then, Father, glean to Scripture, Father, as we approach the downhill portion of the life of David and leadership, Lord, as we look over the next couple Wednesday nights of wrapping that up. Lord, we thank you for the time we've had in your word. And I pray that you would give me insight and wisdom for the next topic, next theme for Wednesday nights here, starting sometime late August or September. And Father, again, meet with us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Just pray that you give him strength and give him wisdom. Now, Father, bless our time in the Word tonight as we continue with our study. I pray that you would help us to glean from the Scriptures. And, Lord, that we'd be edified and encouraged. I pray that you'd help me tonight, Lord, as I teach. We ask these things in the wonderful name of our Savior, Jesus. Amen. All right, we'll turn our Bibles to 1 Chronicles. And trust everybody has a handout tonight. And we'll, hard to believe, it's been 18 months ago we started this series. And we'll be finishing up here this month, here soon. Tonight, just have one point, and I want to try to finish up this portion at the end of this slowly, and give us opportunity to think and reevaluate some things in our personal life, and as well as this, as we look at David here as a gracious ending. We all want to have a gracious ending. And this is something I was going to finish up and start, and tonight would have been part two or three and finish it up. But with the funeral last week, I thought it would be good just to push it another week and other things that were going on, but having to do with death as well. I'm not going to take the time to read 1 Chronicles 28 and 29, but we'll read some of those verses. But we will look at 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and read verses 26 through 30. And then we'll read portions of chapter 28 in just a moment. But 1 Chronicles chapter 29, and we'll read verses 26 through 30 as we look at the end of David's life, a gracious ending. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse number 26. Thus David, the son of Jesse, reigned over all of Israel. And the time that he reigned over Israel was 40 years. 7 years reigned he in Hebron, and 33 years he reigned in Jerusalem. And he died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor. And Solomon his son reigned in his stead. Now the acts of David the king, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of Samuel the seer, and in the book of Nathan the prophet, and the book of Gad the seer, with all his reign and his might, and all the times that went over him and over Israel, all the kingdom of the countries. As I mentioned, we have been studying the life of David for just over 18 months. The time we get finished, it will be almost 19 months. We have watched him as a shepherd boy become a man. We have watched him as a shepherd become a king. And we have followed David across the high mountain peaks of success into the deep valleys of defeat. We have seen him when he shined with the glory of righteousness, and we have seen that glory tarnished by devastating sin. We have watched David as he enjoyed the blessings of God, and we've watched him as he endured the consequences of sin. And I wonder, have you ever thought for a moment, have you ever walked through those funeral graveyards where you see those epitaphs on some of the markers? And, you know, have you ever thought about your own eulogy, how it might read? What might be said about you, your life, your testimony when that time comes? Without a doubt, we will not be in the same position David was in his life, good, bad, and ugly, written in the Word of God for all to see, but also for us to learn from. His life should be a challenge to us because there are so many parallels between his experiences and ours. We can identify with David, the shepherd boy, the young man, the soldier, the king, as well as ruler. In our text, we find that David, at the end of the trail, as far as his life is concerned, he is 70 years old. He has reigned as king for 40 years, and he is about to pass the torch to the next generation. But before he dies, David has some last words for those who have gathered around him. Notice chapter 28 of 1 Chronicles in verse 1. And David assembled all the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribes and the captains of the companies that minister to the king by course, and the captains over the thousand, the captains over the hundreds, and the stewards over all the substance and possession of the king, and of his sons, with the officers, and with the mighty men, and with all the valiant men unto Jerusalem. In these last words of David, we can see what occupied his thoughts as he reaches the end of his life. In his last words, we can read about a gracious ending to a life pleasing to the Lord. In the last words of the old king, we will encounter some of the characteristics that should mark the end of our own lives. As the Lord gives liberty, tonight I'd like to share, just begin a small short series of teaching on a gracious ending. Rhetorical question, but have we thought about, we've all reached the age, I think everyone in this room, we've reached that age where we have a will. And some of us have updated our will. And my mother, every time one of my brothers puts their foot in his mouth, always says, I guess I'll update my will next week. But you know what I'm referring to and what I'm talking about. But just one point tonight and a few things to go with it. I hope it helps us think of some things and ponder some things. It was a time of reflection. Notice verses 2 through 8 in chapter 28. We've already read verse 1. Then David, the king, stood up upon his feet and said, Hear me, my brethren, and my people. As for me, I had in mine heart to build an house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and for the footstool of our God, and had made ready for the building. But God said unto me, Thou shalt not build an house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood. Howbeit the Lord God of Israel chose me before all the house of my fathers to be king over Israel forever. For he hath chosen Judah to be the ruler, and the house of Judah, the house of my father. And among the sons of my father, he likened me to make me king over Israel. And all of my sons, for the Lord hath given me many sons, he hath chosen Solomon, my son, to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. And he said unto me, Solomon, thy son, he shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever, if he be constant to do my commandments and judgments as at this day. Now therefore, in the sight of all of Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, keep and seek for all commandments of the Lord your God, that ye may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever. David lets us know that these last days of his life were filled with thoughts of a dream that he never saw fulfilled. And like many of us, I'm sure there are things on our bucket lists, things to do lists, or things that we'd like to fulfill. When we get closer to that time in life, sometimes we reflect on things that we wish we had not done, things we wish we had time to do, or wish that we had been able to accomplish. David wanted to build a temple for the Lord, but God had said no. However, David's son, the next king, would build the temple, as we see not only here, but also in 1 Samuel chapter 7, verses 1 through 17. This was a disappointment to David that lingered until the day of his death. Even all that was taking place, all that was gathered around, he felt the importance or the need to mention this in front of everyone, that it was him, that though he desired and though he collected everything, he would not be able to do what he wanted to do, but God said that his son would be able to accomplish that. In David's words, we see a man who died with an unfulfilled dream still in his heart. Do we have unfulfilled dreams? Especially that, and I'm referring to the spiritual realm, because that's what David's talking about with the temple, spiritual things. Are there some things that we would still like to do? David did not look back on what God had not allowed him to do with anger. He looked back on what God had allowed him to do. He tells us that God had chosen him to be king. God had picked David, the youngest son of an unknown family, to be king over all of his people there in verse 4. Yes, an unknown family. So unknown that he was even less unknown, because he wasn't called, if you remember, when the prophet came by with his sons there. He was called last when the prophet asked, is there more? God had blessed him greatly, promising to establish his kingdom forever in verses 5 through 7. David rejoices that God has chosen his son Solomon for a special relationship there in verse 6. Oh, how it is pleasing for a parent, for a dad, for a mother to get excited about the Lord using their children in ministry, using their children in serving the Lord, no matter whether they be full-time or part of their local church. Instead of focusing on what God had done in his life, David reflected on what God had done in his life. Yeah, he mentioned some of the not, but it was still going to be accomplished through his son. David's act of reflection displayed an attitude that we should all have, especially when the end of life draws near. If we are not careful, we will come to the end of life bitter, disappointed, and delusioned because we did not get to see our dreams fulfilled. Friends, I don't know about you. Like many of you, I've got a dream list. I've got a bucket list. I got some things I still like to do on the fleshly, carnal, I don't know what you want to call it, but there's also some things on the spiritual end that I still would like to see in my lifetime. Still, I would like to accomplish for the Lord, and Lord willing, the Lord will allow me to see it or use me in doing those things. I'm sure you have some similar thoughts and prayers. As we age, it becomes clear with each passing year that some of our dreams are not going to come to pass. What do we do when those shattered dreams, or what do we do with those shattered dreams? We can become bitter because God said no to our dreams, or we can look back with joy, thankful for the things that he did bring into our lives. I think many of us, especially those of us in ministry, pastors, missionaries, evangelists, we're young, fresh out of Bible college, and we have some carnal thoughts at times, and I'm just going to be honest with you. We want to preach to the hundreds. We want to preach to the thousands. We get excited about the opportunity to have the audience of that big of a crowd, especially in an evangelistic campaign where many might be unsaved. We have desires to see. We have desires to see families to grow with grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have desires to pastor and be in a ministry where we see boys and girls come through the nursery and get saved and grow up and perform their weddings, or even see some of them go off to Bible college and come back and serve on staff or go to the mission field out of their church. We have thoughts and prayers and dreams like that. But they don't always come to pass. I suppose that it all boils down to who we believe had the best plan. Was it my dreams, my thoughts, my plans, or is not God's plan the better plan? David had a wonderful dream, had great ideas and high hopes, but God had other plans. We could sit around and grumble about what we did not get, kind of like Christmas morning. We could sit around and grumble about things that we did not get, or we can thank him for what we did get. We can blame him for what we think we missed out on, or we can rejoice in what he brought into our lives. It comes down to a matter of sovereignty. Do we fully trust that God knows what he's doing? I don't know how many times I've had to tell my wife, my children, just trust me. I know it's dark out there, and I know we don't speak the language, but it's only 2,000 miles from Slovakia through the Ukraine to Moldova. We'll be okay. Can't read a map. Don't know the language. Instead of being Latin-based, we bought a map, and it's all Cyrillic. It was an adventure. But we've had other things as well, and we too need to realize sometimes God just says, hey, you can trust me for your salvation. Trust me for life. Trust me with your walk. Trust me with your service and with your ministry. Who is God in our lives? Us or him? Who's the ruler? Who's the guide? Who's the lead? If we are the masters of our own destiny, then don't blame God for unfulfilled dreams. Blame yourself. And let me read it another way. If we are the masters of our own destiny, then don't blame God for unfulfilled dreams. Blame ourselves. Yeah, I'm in that category as well. If God is the Lord of your life, then thank him for what he has done, because he has brought into your life the things that were best for you. I can't help but to think about how many times Dad has had to say no, or how many times Dad had to discipline and said, son, this hurts me a whole lot more than it hurt. It's going to hurt you. And I never understood that until I was a dad. But even the aspect of ministry and life as adults, we still need to trust God. Yes, it hurts. Yes, sometimes the physical pain, the emotional pain, the spiritual pain, the things that we go through, the things that we see, the things that we're a part of, the things we see or notice at a distance, it hurts. And let's be honest, life in church sometimes hurts. But God is sovereign, and we must trust him and allow him to remain to be sovereign in what's best. Romans 8:28 tells us, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. That verse is a whole lot easier to read and share with someone else, but a whole lot harder to take sometimes. And people say, I know. We know all things work together for good. Yeah, they really do, no matter how that we feel about it and how uncomfortable that it may be. So what kind of shattered dreams are you looking back on today? What kind of shattered dreams have we faced, and what kind of shattered dreams are dreams that we're walking through the broken glass now? Maybe you wanted more in life and in marriage. Maybe you wanted your children to accomplish certain things in life. Maybe you wanted to achieve certain goals along the way. Maybe you are disappointed in your financial success or lack thereof. Maybe you wanted to succeed in some ministry. Maybe you had big plans and goals for life, but none of them have been achieved. Now, you realize that those things will never be realized. What does that do to you? How does that make you feel? Are you content with where the Lord has brought you in life, or are you bitter that things have not turned out the way that you had planned them? I took some time today and read over some notes and old notes and note cards, and I was looking for some things because some things in sermon preparation stories came to mind, and I couldn't remember names, and I couldn't remember the certain situations, so I thought to myself, okay, how am I going to do this? I really can't recall. I even tried to do a little bit of a Google search and could not find some things I were looking for. But I do remember one particular example, and I don't remember the names, of a young man, a young lad who was going through school and wanted to be a scientist, wanted to work in the field of science, but yet often he was very discouraged and very put off and very not able to accomplish some things he wanted, even criticized by some of his teachers through primary school, grade school, and high school, but he still continued to go on and work. Even in college, he was at times discouraged because he didn't just have the mind for to be a scientific researcher, but he just wouldn't give up. And he kept pressing on and going forward because he felt in his heart, I know this is what God would have me to do as a believer. And he did stem cell and gene research. And I wish I could have found the article, but I could not. But long story short was, he did succeed. And some of the gene and cell research that is used today to help many people was because of the one that so many teachers told him to quit and give up. You'll never make it in this field. There's countless preachers and missionaries the same way. There's some well-known missionaries that we read about that were told, you will never learn the language, you'll never make it on the mission field. But they went anyway. There are missionaries that honored and served the Lord for 7 years and never saw a soul saved, but they wouldn't quit and they wouldn't give up. And then eventually, God bless them, multitudes came to know Christ as their personal Savior. What I'm getting at, no matter how hard it gets, no matter how difficult it is, aren't you so glad that David didn't give up and give in? How many times was he betrayed by his people that were around him? How many times was he betrayed by even family members and those close to him? But he continued to serve and do what he could to serve God, to honor God, and be the right king. And even when he failed, and even when he sinned, he made and kept short accounts. See, the best thing to do with the past and its broken dreams is to let it go. Let it go. The best things to do with the past and its broken dreams is to just let it go. Thank God for where he has brought you and what he has done in and through your life. We all can't be maybe what we first chose to be or chose to do. And I know I've shared with you through times gone by, I got a chance to talk with some of the men around the table. And the more we're talking, I know me and Brother Leonard had some commonalities in sports and ball and things that we wanted to do and others. But God had a different plan. God, and I trust his sovereignty. And there was times I was angry. And I don't want to say bitter. I was angry, but more angry with myself because I wondered, did I not take good enough care of myself? Should have I not done some things that I did that led to some of my injuries? Maybe I shouldn't have been involved in playing on three different teams in the summer and all the traveling and all the ball that I played. I just wore myself out. I just overdid it. And then somewhere along the way, one night after a ball practice, when I realized that I'm never going to play major league ball, I might get a year or two in college, but I'm never going to make it to the big leagues. I finally realized that, and I accepted it. And I was on my way home from the ball field. And the Lord said, reminded me, it wasn't you. It was me. That is not the path that I have for you. And I had to come to the point in realizing that it wasn't anything that I didn't do. It was all because of not my lack of obedience into what God wanted me to do. Dear friends, we must ask ourselves in life and ministry, in life in general, we need to learn some of the lessons of content that Paul talked about in Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Doesn't matter if the church is 50, 5, or 500. I have preached to both crowds. I have pastored small churches, large churches, those in between. And I've pastored churches that had a revolving door because the military gave them orders every 12 months. It's not what I planned. It's not what I thought. But I wouldn't trade it for the world. One day I was sitting in my office and wondering, okay, if I rewrote my life, what would have I done differently? And then as I sat in my office, and like Michelle had done so many times in times past, reminded me of my blessings box, full of cards from former church members, present church members, and boys and girls and teenagers that wrote little notes to me. Things hanging on my wall were our children's ministry, did crafts or arts during pastor appreciation other times of the year and gifted to me, and I've kept, and many of them I still have in my office. And the Lord reminded me, okay, which one of those did you not want? Which one of those thank you notes did you not want? Because if you changed and you chose, you wouldn't be where I sent you. And sometimes we forget the hard knocks, the difficulties, the excitement, the thrills. What service would you not want to be preaching when, and the Lord began to put names in my mind of those who walked the aisle and trusted Christ? Wouldn't trade it for the world. And Paul says the same things. For I have learned in whatsoever state I am to therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I am sure that he never dreamed, referring to Paul, that he would die like he did, but he was content to allow the Lord to have his way. But my question to you, are we content to allow the Lord have his way? One more memory and I'll close tonight. Part of going down that memory lane that the Lord taught me a lesson in was also my military career, where it all began. When I made the decision to tell my pastor, Brother Kirk, that's literally what I did. Yes, son, as he often called me. God called me to preach. And he says, I've been wondering when you're going to tell me. And then the journey began of the mentoring and spending time with him, putting me in children's church, teaching in children's church, Michelle leading the music, telling the missionary story, and me preaching, to those kids from potty trained to 11 years old. We had them all. Some years we had five. Other times we had 20 to 30 kids, full class. And telling you what, a challenge to keep the youngest potty-trained child to the 11-year-old and keep their attention for 45 minutes. It was a challenge. It was a seesaw of moving the jelly jar to the top list, to the bottom, to the top, to the bottom, and keeping the attention of the old and the new. And the Lord reminded me, through those 3 years of teaching children's church, Had you not followed my leading and went where I told you to go, being involved in ministry, which one of those boys and girls would you not wanted to be saved? Which one of those boys and girls would you not want to have been able to reach out to you in some later years, or other ministries that you've been involved with and not contact and stay in contact or encourage you by letting you know where they're at today in ministry? Yeah, knocks are hard. Ministry is difficult. Life is difficult. But Paul reminds us, be content where we're at, where we are, whatever state we end. But sometimes we have to ask ourselves, can I read that? Can I say that and be sincere? If not, what needs to change that I can? Be content, because he is sovereign. And if I cannot question and I have confidence that I am where God wants me to be, I am in the church that God wants me to be in, am I serving to the capacity he wants me to serve? And if he is sovereign, then I should not question that. I should not be concerned, but I should ask myself, am I involved? Am I involved enough? Am I allowing and using my ministry to make a difference in the life of those around me, from the nursery to the oldest? How am I doing? David went through the role in this gracious ending and sharing some things. And we'll continue next week and go a little further. But maybe it's good for us also to have a time of reflection. Not because I think it's at the end of our life. Not because I think the Lord's going to come back tonight. But I think we should do it before that time. I think maybe something we should do every year. A time of reflection of where I'm at, the sovereignty of God. Yes, he is in control. I am the servant. He is the master. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your goodness, the blessings of joy, the blessings of service, the blessings of fellowship. Pray that you'd dismiss us with your love tonight. Pray that you'd help us all in the aspect of looking at David's life and how gracious he was at the end. And Lord, how gracious are we? How gracious can we be? As we reflect on our life, have we accomplished all that we have liked to? But more importantly, have we accomplished those things that you have put on our heart and that we know that you would have us to do? Are we still trusting your sovereignty? And Father, bless us now again with your love. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for providing for us. And Lord, thank you for the privilege of ministry. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, as always, the Lord loves you, his preacher loves you. If I can be helped to you in any way, please do not hesitate to ask. God bless you. You're dismissed.